Good morning, Butler. I'm Jeannie Cornell, librarian K through 6 at Emily Britton Elementary and Butler Middle School. I just want to take a moment to say we miss you. We care about you. And for my frequent flyers to the library, you know who you are. I miss you so much.
Mrs. Cornell, I could not agree with you more. My name is Lauren Kubiak, and I'm the librarian at DMS full-time. We miss our students so much, and we hope you're well during this time. We want to start our broadcast this morning by getting some information out for our BASD families. If you need assistance with services at home, remember to dial 211. It's an easy-to-remember three-digit telephone number meant to provide information and referrals to health, human, and social service organizations. Dial 211 if you need this level of assistance. There is also a great COVID-19 section on the BASD website, featuring all of the district's communication, food service order forms, resources for families in need, and a link to a collection of learning enrichment activities created by teachers across the district that we'll be talking about later.
We want to be sure that everyone can get to the Butler Area School District website for parent information and resources for your children. So make sure that if you need to get to our website, the website for our school district is basdk12.org, spelled O-R-G. Again, that address is basdk12.org, spelled O-R-G. From there, you will see all the different information that our school district actually offers to all students. You can click on the Schools tab and go to your school individually, as well as when you're on your individual school's website, you can click on Staff and find all the teacher email addresses. You can click on Quick Links and find the link for Clever. And from there, you can also go ahead and access our library tabs, where we have a lot of resources for you to use while you're at home to at your disposal. So once again, that address is basdk12.org.
Thanks, Mrs. Cornell. For our broadcast today, our focus is going to be on the subject of English and Language Arts, also known as ELA. We are librarians, so we love both books and information.
To start our ELA lesson, we would like to read aloud a book from one of my favorite authors, Mo Willems, that is. Author and illustrator of Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, my personal favorite, Nuffle Bunny. All of our K through fourth graders have been introduced to these characters starting in kindergarten, including the characters of Piggy and Gerald the Elephant. With permission from Mo Willems and Wernick and Platt Agency, we are going to be reading Waiting is Not Easy, written and illustrated by Mo Willems.
So, Mrs. Cornell, what do listeners need to know about the characters in our story?
Mrs. K is going to be reading the voice of Gerald the Elephant. Gerald the Elephant is very nervous, always worrying about something, and very impatient, I might add. And I will be doing the voice of Piggy, who is carefree and always happy.
So I'll get my Gerald voice ready, get myself nice and loud. Mrs. Cornell, are you ready?
And students, don't forget to get that image of Gerald and Piggy in your imagination.
Waiting is Not Easy by Mo Willems.
Gerald, I have a surprise for you.
Yay! What is it?
The surprise is a surprise.
Oh. Is it big?
Yes.
Is it pretty?
Yes.
Can we share it?
Yes.
I cannot wait.
You will have to.
Wait? What? Why?
The surprise. prize is not here yet.
So I will have to wait for it?
Yes.
Oh, well, if I have to wait, I will wait. I am waiting. Waiting is not easy. Piggy, I want to see your surprise now.
I am sorry, Gerald, but we must wait.
Oof. I am done waiting. I do not think your surprise is worth all this waiting. I will not wait anymore. Okay, I will wait some more.
It will be worth it. Eek!
Iggy! We have waited too long. It is getting dark. Getting darker. Soon we will not be able to see each other. Soon we will not be able to see anything. We have wasted the whole day.
Well,
we have waited and waited and waited and waited. And for what?
For that. Boys and girls, what do you think Piggy pointed to when she said, for that? Remember, it's really dark. Gerald has mentioned that they wasted the whole day. What do you think that she pointed to? That's right. She pointed to all the beautiful stars in the sky. There are millions and millions of them lighting up the entire night sky, just dazzling.
Wow. This was worth the wait.
I know.
Tomorrow morning, I want to show you the sunrise.
I cannot wait. And boys and girls, on the very back cover, as all of you might know, Mo Willems always puts in that pesky pigeon. And the pigeon is on the back cover also looking at all the millions of dazzling stars in the sky. And the pesky pigeon is saying, wow.
Mrs. Cornell, that was a great book choice. And thanks to Mo Willems, you know, most authors don't usually allow you to record or perform their books on the air. But since schools are closed, many authors and publishers are editing their copyright policies. They know you guys all need books. Speaking of which, we wanted to include something for our middle school listeners as well. We spend the majority of library class at BMS discussing things like databases and expert websites. But one of our students' favorite things is Book Talk Day. Do you agree, Mrs. Cornell?
Absolutely.
For parents, a book talk is when you try to sell a book or make kids want to read it themselves. We'll tell you about the beginning, the middle, and leave you hanging at a cliffhanger. And hopefully we'll get a good number of you to want to read it. The book I'm going to book talk today is available in our library's Sora collection. Sora is an app or a website, which is soraapp.com, that schools use to purchase libraries of ebooks and audiobooks for their students. BMS students have access to the Butler Area Middle School collection in the Sora app, and grades 7 through 12 can access their school's collection through the OverDrive app. The book I am pitching today is quite a famous book called White Bird by R.J. Palacio. She is famous for her book Wonder, which was made into a very popular movie as well. White Bird is a graphic novel, meaning it's a novel-length comic book. Graphic novels are extremely popular with young readers, and I have to say, the quality of graphic novels is pretty amazing. If your child loves them, take a moment to read some. They're pretty amazing and much more sophisticated than you'd expect. This book is wildly popular, and there is a wait list both for the physical copies in our school and for the ebook in Sora. I made sure to just check. As I always say to my students, get yourselves in audience mode, please. Are you ready, Mrs. Cornell?
I'm ready.
All right, so think about what you know about wonder. Audience, get it in the back of your mind. And here we go, book talk day. Julian may be at a new school, but he remembers how he used to be. He remembers how he treated Augie. He shakes his head so he doesn't think about it now. But he has a new assignment at his school. Talk to an older relative. Find out their story. Julian knew right away that he wanted to call his grandmother. She had always lived in France, and he knew he didn't know the real story of her childhood. She had grown up in France when the Germans invaded, but she'd never told him the truth. And now, he felt ready to know. He called across the ocean, and Grandmère picked up even though it was late. Grandmère, he said, will you tell me the real story of your childhood? She was quiet for a long time. Even if it's not a nice story, she said. Even if you learn I was unkind? Julian agreed, and Grandmère began to tell him her real truth. When Sarah was young, she had a perfect life. She lived in a beautiful French town. Her parents loved her, and their days were filled with joy. When the Germans first took over France, only the flags and signs looked different. But very quickly, laws and rules started to change. Sarah's family was Jewish, and in time, they were welcome nowhere. One morning on the way to school, Sarah's father stopped her before she walked out the door. It was warm with spring in the air and sunshine, and she had put on a pretty dress and her beautiful red dress shoes. Sarah, he said, listen to me carefully. I know it is warm, but promise me today you will wear your heavy coat and your boots. Listen to me. You must promise. Sarah froze, and she promised. But as soon as her dad was gone, she took off her warm coat and put her beautiful red shoes back on instead. Her father was crazy. It was not going to snow. Sarah, like any kid, wanted to fit in. She wanted to look beautiful. She wanted to be liked. Sarah knew what it looked like to be shunned. There was a boy at school who everyone called the Crab. He wore crutches on his arms due to an illness when he was a child. Everyone said he sounded like a crab skittering down the hall. They said he smelled awful, too. Of course, he didn't, but his father worked in the sewers, and many of the girls fussed that he was disgusting. Sarah sat in class in her pretty red shoes. In the middle of the class, the headmaster pounded on the door and came running in. He was panting, out of breath, panicked. He told the teacher to send all of the Jewish students into the hall immediately. Sarah was afraid, but she stood up in her red shoes and walked out. The head of school said they had heard rumor that the Germans were coming for all of the Jewish students, and a man from the school was going to be brave and take them into the woods to hide in the snowy trees. Sarah listened to the directions, but as everyone else ran to safety in the woods, she held back. She snuck up into the bell tower. She did not want to ruin her shoes. The tower had a window that even when she was hiding, she could peer out of. She watched in horror as Germans arrived, and the soldiers saw footprints in the freshly fallen snow. Her father had been right. Snow was everywhere. The soldiers tracked the kids down, and all of them were taken away. Sarah's heart began to race. She would be found up here. She would be turned in. She crept down the stairs and froze when she heard it. The crab was there. Would he turn her in? All of a sudden, he waved Sarah over, and he opened a cover in the ground that led them into the sewers. Without a word, they silently walked for miles, out of the village, out of town, through muck and water. When they came up, they were on his family's farmland. He led her into his mom and dad's barn. In the next years, she would hide there, a secret. He would be her protector, her best friend. But what happened to him, Grandmère? Was the crab caught? Don't call him something so cruel, Grandmère said. He had a name. And in fact, his name is your name, my dear Julian. Read White Bird by R.J. Palacio. Mrs. Cornell, have you had a chance to read White Bird?
I have. Wonder was one of my favorite books. It's in my top five. Wonder was a terrific movie. And White Bird, being a graphic novel, is even just as good as the other book, Wonder, but in a different format, which I know all of our younger children actually love graphic novels. In fact, we can't keep them on the shelf enough. And even some of our elementary libraries have Wonder now available when they're able to check out books again.
Oh, that's very cool to know. I know that White Bird is incredibly popular at BMS. I know that we are in the Sweet 16 phase of our March Madness book tournament, and White Bird is hanging in there and is set to win this round. It's optional for BMS students to vote in Google Classroom this week, but right now White Bird stands to win and make it one more week. Pretty exciting.
I know I shouldn't tell who I voted for, but I voted for White Bird.
I did too.
So grammar is actually part of our ELA English Language Arts program. Today we're actually going to focus on a skill, your and your. These two words are homophones, meaning they sound the same, but that is the only thing they have in common. They are spelled differently, and they have two different meanings. Your, spelled Y-O-U-R, is a possessive pronoun, such as your pencil, your coat. And your, spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, is a contraction for the two words you are. A contraction combines those two words, you are, into one word, your, using an apostrophe for any missing letters. Because these two words have very different meanings, I cringe when I read them misused, as I know many other teachers do as well. This grammar knowledge is so important for young students learning to write, to seniors in high school, into adulthood, and the professional world. Just recently, I saw an ad for a very popular company, I won't say the name, that read, "You're on!" They clearly meant you are on and should have used the contraction you're on, spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. How embarrassing. To describe how I feel about the misuse of these two words, I would like to read a poem I found from the website Warrior Poet Wisdom. The title is Your versus Your. It's gotten out of hand. I just can't take it anymore. Does anyone still remember how to use your and your? If I see one more person write, "You're funny," on the net, I may do something with my laptop that I will regret. It's not your house or your city, nor is it your welcome. I'm being so bombarded that I feel I'll soon succumb to using these improperly because of sheer exposure. It's enough to make you lose all of your composure. All of these yours and yours in this poem were misspelled to get to the reader's attention. There is one very simple rule to test which your to use when writing. If you can substitute the words you are for your, you can use the fancy one with the apostrophe, spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. If you can't, you must use the plain Y-O-U-R your. For example, you would never say you are pencil or you are coat to say your pencil or your coat. You have to use the plain your, spelled Y-O-U-R. But you could say you are funny or you are kind, So you need to write the fancy one, your, with the apostrophe, Y-O-U, apostrophe, R-E. Mrs. K, I found a short quiz that I'd like to give you and the students and the audience. So I'm going to read you a question, and we'll give the students a moment to pause, too. And okay. I want you to tell me if that your should be choice A, Y-O-U-R, or choice B, Y-O-U, apostrophe, R-E, which, remember, is the contraction for you are. Are you ready, Mrs. K?
I am. I love quizzes.
Okay. Number one, your quiz was fun to play.
It's my quiz, so it's possessive, A, Y-O-U-R.
Very good. Number two, you're right. The answer is four.
I can substitute it with you are right, so the contraction, B, U apostrophe R-E.
Very good. Number three, how is your mother?
Possessive again, A, Y-O-U-R.
Number four, thank you for inviting me to your party.
Possessive again, it's my party, A, Y-O-U-R.
Right, you would never say you are party, would you?
I would not say that.
So you would not use the contraction, you are.
Got it.
Is this sentence correct? You're one of the nicest people I have ever met.
Can you say it again?
The question is, you're one of the nicest people I have ever met.
So I'm trying to figure out, should it be A, Y-O-U-R, or B, Y-O-U, apostrophe, R-E? I think
right.
That could be you are, so B, Y-O-U, apostrophe, R-E.
I like how you thought to use the two-word test, you are one of the nicest people I have ever met.
Thanks, Mrs.
Next question.
Cornell.
You're welcome. Let's go to your house for lunch.
I am at my house, but it's talking about it being my house. I own it. That's A, Y-O-U-R.
Possessive, absolutely. Number seven, your room is filthy. Clean it at once.
That is probably true. And that is my room. I own it. So A, Y-O-U-R.
Absolutely. Possessive again. You don't look well. You're not feeling ill, are you?
That's a question. It's trickier. You're not feeling ill, are you? I can replace it with you are not. B. The contraction, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Right. Always use that test if you're unsure to use you are in replacement. Number nine, I have no doubt that you're right.
Passes the you are test, B, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
And the last one, I hope that you are more comfortable using these words after taking this quiz.
I like being comfortable, but yes, I can say you are. B, it's the contraction, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Absolutely.
Whew, Mrs. Cornell, after that tough quiz, I think I need some humor in our lives. Are you ready for a joke?
I am.
Why does an elephant use her trunk as a bookmark?
I don't know, Mrs. K. What is it?
It's a good one. Then she knows where she stopped reading. Get it? Nose, like a trunk is an elephant's nose?
Okay, well, I have one for you.
Joke. Okay.
What did the science book say to the math book?
What did it say?
Wow, you've got problems. Get it? Like problems in a math book?
I like it. This last one is pretty bad. Are you ready?
I like bad ones. Go for it.
Okay. What word is always spelled wrong in the dictionary?
I hate to ask, but what?
Wrong is always spelled wrong. W-R-O-N-G, if you didn't know how to spell it.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I love a bad joke. Before we end today, we want to remind you of Butler Area School District's tips for learning at home. Tip 1, identify a space such as a dining room table that could become the study space. It's beneficial to make this space different from a bedroom or other location with distractions. Tip 2, develop a structured schedule for schoolwork. This structure will begin to form a routine.
Number 3, eliminate other distractions such as cell phones and television from the environment. And tip number 4, ensure some brain breaks and exercise opportunities within the work times. The balance of mind and body will be especially important given the stress and anxiety.
Our next tip, reinforce the importance of consistency in sleep patterns. We want to avoid summer mode when some students stay up very late and then sleep until noon.
The next one, stay focused on the learning. Students can take this opportunity to learn more about things that interest them. It is rare to have such flexibility to really focus on personal areas of interest and study. This is a great chance to do so.
Those are some great tips, and I'm actually following them myself as a teacher instead of being just a student. At the beginning of our broadcast, we mentioned that there were student enrichment learning activities posted on the BASD website. We wanted to draw your attention to two different ELA activities from the collection. I am sharing Lunch Doodles with Mo Willems. Mo Willems, who wrote the book we read earlier, is super famous, super funny, and a very talented artist. KennedyCenter.org, the address looks like Kennedy-Center.org, is sharing Mo's lessons every single day. A new doodle lesson posts every day at 1 p.m., and the old episodes can be streamed on the Kennedy Center website, and you can find them on YouTube. He teaches how to draw his characters, how to write stories, and it's very fun to watch. I've seen a few.
I love this website. And parents, this is included on the letter that Dr. White emailed to everybody that is labeled Student Enrichment Learning Activities, and the Lunch Doodle ones is on, if you go to ELA in his Student Learning Activities website or link and click on Read Alouds, you'll find the Lunch Doodles hyperlink right there that you can just click on it and will take you directly to it. Also on that same document, once again, that's the Student Enrichment Learning Activities that Dr. White sent in his letter. If you click on ELA again and click on Capstone under the ELA Activities, all the links will be there for the usernames and passwords for PebbleGo, which is a database made by the publisher Capstone for kindergarten through third grade, and we normally just have the two modules, which is biographies and animals, but because of all of us being at home, they've opened up all their modules. For Pebble Go, it is animals, science, biographies, social studies, and dinosaurs. I can't wait to do the dinosaurs one. For our next grade level, which we don't even have, but they're opening up to us since we are all at home, is Pebble Go Next, which is targeted for grades 3 through 6th grade. And their modules that they have are states, science, American Indian history, social studies, and biographies. And then for all of these, there's My Capstone Library, which are interactive ebooks. And as I said, all of these databases, PebbleGo, PebbleGo Next, and My Capstone Library, have read aloud features. So if you just press the speaker button beside any of these articles that you pull up, it will read them to you. So there's all kinds of interactive activities activities to go along with each article. And I strongly suggest while you're at home, students, check out this capstone link on the ELA activities under the student enrichment activities. To wrap up today, I wanted to end with a quote that hangs in my classroom. It feels like the perfect fit for all of us that are stuck at home right now. The quote reads, "Reading gives us someplace to go when we have to stay where we are," by Mason Cooley. Keep this quote in mind and grab something to read to give your brain an escape. Right now, I'm spending time reading. I just finished up Guts by Raina Talgemeier, and my next book that I'm actually going to read is going to be New Student. Mrs. K, what are you reading?
I am reading a graphic novel recommended to me by some BMS students. It is called Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy, a graphic novel. It is a modern retelling of the classic Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, and it takes place in Brooklyn, New York, and in Manhattan. So that's where I'm spending my time, even though I'm at home.
We hope all of our students are using this time to do things you love and read some great books. Thank you to the Butler Radio Group for having us, and a shout-out to Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, LLP, for sponsoring this presentation.
I always like to end my classes with a personal exit question, so talk this over with your family. What do you think is funnier, milk coming out of someone's nose or someone spitting something out because they're laughing? I vote spit. Mrs. Cornell, what about you?
The nose always makes me laugh. Stay safe. We miss you, and make this a great day. This was Jeannie Cornell from Emily Britton and Butler Middle School.
And this was Lauren Kubiak from Butler Middle School. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.